So I had very good intentions when I said, "Oh, definitely, we're going to learn Motzei Tzom. There's no reason to cancel a shiur after the fast."
4 hours.
But now I must tell you, I'm regretting it. So we'll learn a little bit until I expire, and then we'll. I ate. I just have a terrible headache. No, you know, because I didn't have. If I had coffee after the fast, I'd be up all night.
I broke some coffee.
So I'm now bleak caffeine.
How much do you usually drink?
Usually like one very large strong cup in the morning and often one later in the afternoon. Well, okay, last week we saw it's the shortest of fasts. It's so fast that you could call it a quick. So Samach Zayin Omer Aleph. We saw the mission last week and we started the beginning. Hainu Resha Avi Ubala Mafirin Nadira Maud Tema. O aviha o balak tani kamashmalon. It's not orze oze, it's both. In other words, when the nara murasa, in this little window of time, what? Maximum, we're talking about a half year period. So you need the father and the husband, although technically he's not the husband yet, he is the, I mentioned last week.
The betrothed,
the arus, right? But the Mishnah and the Gemara are not always precise in their use of the language to call him the arus. But the baal, he's not technically yet the baal. We'll see. This is going to cause us trouble in a second. Does everybody have the psukim from last week?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry.
It's you. Chaim, you have this from last week. You have to hold on to these the psukim from Parshat Matot, or you could take a chumash. That's true. Ve'ein tzarich lomar she kiyem echad mehem. The Mishnah says, well, the Mishnah said you need both the father and the soon-to-be husband for the nara murusa. They have like co-veto rights on her nedarim. Hafar av lo hafar abav, hafar abav lo hafar atav, eino mufar. If one did and the other didn't, the neder still stands, her neder still stands. Ve'ein sarich lomar, and it is unnecessary to state, says the Mishnah, shekiyem echad mehen. Right. So first of all, what's strange about the Lashon of the Mishnah? Yeah, right. In other words, we operate under this kind of hermeneutical principle that the Mishnah has nothing unnecessary in it. So a lot of what the Gemara does, you've learned enough Gemara to know, that the Gemara will often ask, why does Mishnah X state the following pshita? Right? It's obvious.
You're saying, I think it's a difference of Lashon. If it said Kal V'Chomer, you wouldn't have asked the question. In Tzarich Lomar sounds like, well, why do you have to say it? But it's basically the same. Kal V'Chomer,
It's rhetorically the same as a Kal V'Chomer. But it's kind of funny, since the Gemara is so sensitive to looking for something which is that the Mishnah did not need to have stated. And here the Mishnah states explicitly, let me tell you something that I do not need to state, that if one of the two was Asher, was Mikayim, ratified the neder. She made a neder, and the father or the husband say, neder ze kayam, or yasha koyach, or it's a great neder, or something like that, showing their assent, their approval. So then, obviously, the other ones, even if the other one vetoes it, it's meaningless, because you need both of them, and one has already gone on record as affirming. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ein tzarich lomar shekiyem echad mehem lamali lemitnei." Right, pshita. In other words, if you need both of them, what does the Mishnah have to say? And if one of them pulls himself out of the veto business, so then obviously it can't be taken down, because you need both the father and the husband. Lamali lemitnei, hashta yesh lomar. If one of them was mefer, if one of them annulled and the other one didn't, it's nothing. tzricha lemitne ki itzterech le kigon de hafar echad mehem vekiem echad vechazar mekem v'nishal al hakamata hakamato. Period.
So it came to tell us about the case where first the person was.
The father, let's say, was Mefir. And the husband was Mekayim. So obviously the Neder stands. Because you need two votes against it. But then, the husband who was Mekayim, what happens once you're Mekayim, what if you change your mind? Well, what can you do? So just like an individual who makes a neder, when you make a neder, Betzem, what are you doing? You're being Mekayim a neder. Here's a strange case, because in this little window of time, well, throughout her whole childhood, the father had this right. But now in this little window of time, when there's an overlap between father and husband, they both share the right to Mefer. But what does it mean to be Mekayim? Well, it's kind of the same as when an individual makes a neder. To whatever it is. I make a neder, I'm going to give up all that fatty food. So he is Mekayim his own neder. How can you get out of the neder which you have made for yourself? Hataras nedarim. That's what we learned in the last parak. So he goes... So he doesn't. It's not like he's accepted her neder on himself, but by giving his assent, he has literally stood it up on its own 2 feet. So now, how can he revoke the assent through the same mechanism that any neder can be mutar through hataras nedarim?
Is talking about a girl that is not engaged.
Yeah.
Her father has the sole right.
Right.
So he's Mekayim, and then there must be some mechanism where he can go back.
Yeah, so he can also, when he's Mekayim, then there.
Same thing with her husband after she's 12 and a half, after that age.
Right.
So he can be Mekayim,
then he can be, but then he has to get Hataras Nedarim, and it works with the same mechanism of Hataras Nedarim. Correct. So that's the Gemara saying. So the Gemara says, why does it, when the Mishnah says Ein Tzarich Lomar Shekiyem Echad Mehem, Pshita? No, there's a case where it's necessary to state this. So what's the case? Father and husband. The father Nagid is Mefer. But the husband is Mekayim. So the neder stands. Then the husband has Charata. He realizes this was a bad thing to be Mekayim the neder, and he goes for, he can't change his mind. Once you make Mekayim the neder, you can't change your mind. Except through the mechanism of Hataras Nedarim. Right? So he goes and he gets Hataras Nedarim. So now the father gave it a thumbs down, the husband had given it a thumbs up, but now the husband is now back to the neutral state. So now let the husband put his thumb down. So now you have father and husband agreeing that it's down, and therefore it's done. Therefore the neder falls. So when we say Ein Tzarich Lomar She Kiyem Echad Mehem, no, there is a case where Kiyem Echad Mehem, I might have thought, even after Mekayem Echad Mehem.
In that case, it doesn't get
No. So, in other words, so what are we saying here? Lamli is it's only mitzvah. Kigon dehaver echad mehem v'kiyem echad mehem v'chazar hamakayim v'nishal. Nishal zot omeret. Nishal bevetin. Right. Gad hatar nedarim al hakamato mahu detema. What might I have said? What might I have thought? My duuki haakrei. That which had been established has now been uprooted, and therefore we're back to the original situation. Komash malon, that ain't the case. Why? Demefirin shnehem bevatachat. When they both turn it down, it has to be done simultaneously. So here is a case where ultimately they both turn it down. They're both Mayfair. Elama, it was not done simultaneously. And therefore,
the neder still stands. You can have a situation where both of them say no, and the neder still stands. Because father said no, husband said yes, but then through hataras nadarim, turns into a no. But in between, there was a moment where there was a kiyum of the neder. And since there was a kiyum of the neder, in between, even though at the end of the day, they're both thumbs down, it doesn't work on a technicality because of this requirement of bivat achat. When the father and the husband, what does it mean bivat achat? Obviously, it doesn't mean literally simultaneously.
That they both came to the decision and not by one change of mind.
Meaning, as the Ran here says, bli shiye hefsek shel hakama beinehem. There was, in between, a moment of hakama, where the neder was kayam, at least through the husband. And I said father and husband, it would be the same if the case was reversed. So beseder, the father said no, the husband said yes. Then he changes his mind, goes to Bezdin, and now he says no. So why doesn't the father now reissue his hafara? Now, after the hakama, which was mitbatel in Betin, so now why doesn't the father just reissue his hafara? What? No, in other words, because without that, there's no simultaneity. You had the father's hafara, the husband's hakama, followed by Ataras Nadarim, and then the husband's hafara, and since you had this hakama be'emtza, you're lacking in this simultaneity of the bevatachat. So beseder.
Well, just because one was wishy-washy, the other one said no, and his no stayed all the way through.
No, but apparently not. That's the point in the Gemara, that it's not betokef.
Well, that maybe hatara is like mapes. The father's also, because there was no neder. Once you had the Rambam, no neder anyway.
Ah, yafes. So hold on to that for a second. So the Rambam says, the Rambam in Hilchas Nedarim, Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Kof Aleph, says, Na'aramu rasash, you don't have this, Na'aramu rasash, nadra v'kiyem la'aviha livado. The engaged girl. Her father gives it a thumbs up. It's the opposite of the case I gave, but lo mishene. O ba'ala livado. One says yes and one says no. So when you have a teiku, because what happens? The neder is kayam. Afal pisha nishala chacham vehitir lo hakamato. Even though the one who said yes then goes to Betin or goes to the chacham and gets hatarat nedarim and now has revoked his hakama, eino choseru maferla. Im ha'acher shekvar hafer lo, she'ein lahem lahafer ela shneim ke'echad. The Rambam doesn't say it explicitly, but it sounds like, and most of the Mefarshim of the Rambam say, that the Rambam means in this case it's a technical knockout. In this case, once the husband was mekayim and then got hataras nadarim and was mayfair. Lo mishaneh, on a technicality, this neder stands. Even though at the end of the day, both the husband and the father gave it a thumbs down. But because it was done in this messed up way, where first he said yes and then he said no.
So why bother, if that's the case, why did Hataran in the first place? It wouldn't have helped.
It wouldn't have helped, correct.
What was the point?
Maybe he wanted to be on record as... any of the whatever kind of petach you can get hataras nedarim for, right? He'll say, like, had I known that this was going to mean that my wife was going to, you know, he's a newlywed. He's not even a newlywed yet, right? You know, when you're newlywed, you don't fully understand the implication of every thing.
Any marriage,
totally. Any marriage,
totally. His judgment might not be
right.
And it's the one who is, it's the husband or the
husband, yeah.
that has to go and get the Hetara, not the person who made the neder.
No. Look, if she made a neder, and if she makes a neder, and her husband and her father are Mekayim the neder, right? She can go get Hataras Nedarim like anybody else, right, if she wants to. But we presume in these circumstances the woman or the girl makes the neder. She wants to make the neder. She makes the neder wanting to. However, the Torah gives this schut veto to the husband, to the first the father, and then to the husband, and in the middle to both of them during the chafifa. That veto power means that despite the fact that she took a neder willingly, knowingly, with all kavana, with all intention of keeping the neder, the father or the husband have the right to veto it.
Going back to the case where she's not engaged.
Yeah, just the girl, yeah.
So he's Mekayim the neder, then he changes his mind and he goes and gets Hetarat Nedarim. So that should also not work.
Why?
Because there was a moment when the neder was...
No, in other words, here the problem is that when the father gives a hakama, and then he gets a taras nedarim, so the ned when he's mekayim the neder, so the neder works. She says the neder, and it's given force by his hakama. When there's no engagement involved, when he the father then goes and gets a taras nedarim, because he realizes this is a terrible thing, it's not messing up the family for whatever reason. So then the neder falls because he's revoked his hakama. It's no different than when an individual takes a neder, and the neder is, when I take a neder myself, I'm mekayim the neder, right? I give it force through my words and deeds and intent. And then, for whatever reason, I want hataras nedarim. Here the problem is that the mechanism of hafara is this weird partnership between father and husband, and that act has to be done, the act of both of them thumbing up or thumbing down, well, really thumbing down. If one is thumb up, then it's thumb up for everyone. The act of the two of them thumbing down, right? It's like you compared it last week to the nuclear launcher, right? To launch the nuclear, so you have two keys. That, you know, one person can't do it alone as a safety measure. So you have two keys. So how does it work? They both have to go and turn at the same time. But if Reuven turns his key and then turns off his key and goes get a cup of coffee, and then Shimon turns his key, nothing happens. Right? There has to be this simultaneity. Here, it doesn't mean simultaneous literally at the same moment, but it means simultaneously in like a conceptual peric of time. But if in between the father turning his key and giving it the thumbs up, the husband has put his thumbs down, right? So that interrupts the act. But the Rambam seems to be saying, and again, it's not 100% black on white in the Rambam, the Rambam seems to be saying that when this happens, even though at the end of the day both of them are giving it the thumbs down, lo mishne, the neder stands. It's for technical reason, because there's something inherently wrong in the way the hafara was done. The Ramban, however, and that, by the way, is the Rambam. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskens. The Ramban, Nachmanides, however, says that that's not the case. That she takes a neder. The father is Mefer, and the husband is Mekayim, and the husband goes to Bezdin and gets Hataras Nedarim. The father can now reissue his Hafara, because now, post Hatarat Nedarim, they both now give a thumbs down. They both give a Hafara, and the Neder is Mufar. Which seems to make more sense to you? The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, or the Ramban?
The Ramban.
The Ramban.
Especially because, again, what would be the purpose of the Hataran in the first place if it didn't have any effect?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're not doing it on your own. If you're going to Chachamim, they know it's not going to do anything. What's the point of going through the whole process?
Right. The Rashba...
Theoretically, the father and the husband, each one can be made fair, even on different days, because it's Yom Shamo, right?
Well, it depends on how you define Yom Shamo.
But yeah, in theory, they could both be on different days.
One heard about Sunday, the other heard about Thursday. One is made fair, so it's not really simultaneous, but I think that would work.
Right, but again, simultaneous doesn't, bevat achat doesn't mean at the same time or necessarily even on the same day. Bevat achat means within like one box of time. And that box of time closes when one of them is mekayim. And once one has been mekayim, even though there's no nafkamina, he goes and he gets a taras nadarim, but the neder still stands, at least according to the Rambam. According to the Ramban, there is a reason for him to go to get a taras nadarim if the father will now come and reissue his hafara post hatara. So,
just to specifically disagree, or if he doesn't say anything, it's mekayim or it's not.
If he doesn't say that's the din of Yom Shamo, Yom Shamo, if it's Shev Al Tase,
that's a limitation of time for each of them.
No, correct. There is Yom Shamo, but in other words, it doesn't literally have to be on the same day. The father could hear it on the day that she says it, and the husband could hear it the next. Remember, she's still living with the father,
right?
The husband, the fiance, the betrothed. They just go out to the movies on dates or whatever it is. So it could be that he doesn't hear it that day. But it's still in the same frame of time, bivat achat, in the sense that they each have this one at bat.
Can't change his mind a day later.
Right, no, this is all taking place, biyom shamo. The Rashba says something interesting, which is quoted here in this long run. After he goes and gets Hataras Nadarim, why do we see the first Hafara as cancelled? This plays into what you were saying. When you get Hataras Nadarim, Hataras Nadarim is Lemafreya. It's retroactive. It's as if it never existed. Right? Yeah.
If let's say you took a nether, not talking about Havara, just like previous prayer, you took a nether to not eat, whatever, and then you violated that nether, and then afterwards you did Havara the Rim, you're not chayav on your violation?
You're not chayav on the violation, which is different. This is what I mentioned last week. It's different. Hafarat nederim, when the father is mefir the nether for his daughter, or the husband for his wife, that is only mikanu lahaba. It is not retroactive. So had she violated the neder before he canceled it, she's chayiv malchus, so she's chayiv whatever other obligations were incurred, you know, for, let's say, I don't know, this, a woman takes a neder that every time she goes to the supermarket and she sees the aniyah sitting there, that she's going to give her 10 shekel. Right? It's nice. You see the aniyah there by the supermarket. It's nice to give her tzedakah. You're not chayiv to give her a certain amount every time you see her. But if you take a net there, every time I go in and out of the supermarket, I can go to the supermarket, you know, 5 times a day. Right? Erev Pesach, you go 10 times, just on Erev Pesach alone. Every time you walk in and out of the supermarket, you have to give our resident indigent person sitting over there with their hand open 10 shekels. Right? So that could be a type of neder that a husband doesn't want the wife to make. So when he's mefir it, so if she violated the neder, so then she's chayav malchus on all of the violations of the neder. And I have to check on this, but I'm pretty sure that if she went out in between, she went out in and out 5 times, and then the husband is mefir the neder, she still owes the 50 shekel. Right? Because the neder still existed until that point. But Hataras Nedarim, when you go to Bezdin,
it's almost like a government thing, because a lot of Nedarim are relevant. Like, if you're not going to do something, you're not going to have to, like, retroactively, you're not going to eat peanuts, and it's not retroactively going to say you have to go back and not eat peanuts. But if it's something that physically you're saying you're going to do something,
then it could be that they're Nedarim of Isser, and they're Nedarim of Mitzvah. There's another mitzvah. You say, I'm not going to eat peanuts. Right? So if you ate peanuts, so you were a vibe, but you can't uneat a peanut.
No, but even some mitzvah you can't do. I can't, you know, I'm going to be, you know, extra nice to my landlord. You know, whatever. I can't like go back. And not every mitzvah has that. Even you know, every action, every positive action has the ability to do it. The mafreya, you know, something just passed. The point is passed. Right.
But sometimes a neder generates an obligation. In the case of this financial obligation that I mentioned, so I'm pretty sure in that case she would be chayev for all of that money up until the point that the husband was mifrei.
I have a hard time understanding the retroactivity of a hatara. In other words, I've made a neder and I wasn't very good at keeping it.
Yeah, so you go to Hataras Nedarim, and even though without the Hataras Nedarim, you're chayiv for all of those, and so Hataras Nedarim wipes the slate clean. And Hataras Nedarim.
I understand the logic. I can understand it for the opposite of the case. If I were a person who needed to have somebody else be mekayim my neder, and then he wasn't, you know, he was farag the neder. I would have thought then that it may be retroactive because I had no real standing to
you think it should be pumfakir, that when the husband or father, it's such, but it's not.
Well, what can you understand the logic? Why, if I had made a neder for 10 years and I wasn't very good at it, now I've gotten for a good reason to tarot nedarim, wipes my slate clean.
The logic would be in the nature of the difference between hafara and hatara. Hafara, you don't need any reason for it. Hatara, you have to say that there was a reason.
There was something krum from the beginning. There was something krum from the beginning in the neder, and therefore it's shvikin, shvitin, talin mvutalim. Right? It's
connecting with Steve. You're gonna get me.
Yeah.
Not
together, but that's a good word. So, but hafara. That's a schut that we give the father. And it's, when we say that a father or a husband has rights over his wife's nedarim, it doesn't mean that she can't take nedarim. A woman is allowed to make a neder. Horaya, a single woman, a bogeret, a single adult woman, right? Which is a lot of women. I mean, like the Torah has this idea that this girl goes directly from the age of 12 from her father's house to her husband's house. But in reality, that was not the case then, and it's certainly not the case now. A single woman, an almana, just any woman who's not yet your daughter, my daughter. Right? No, but when a woman who is not under the thumb of her father or her husband, asterisk, ayin my comments at the beginning of the perek 2 weeks ago about the misogyny of all of this and etc. But a woman who's not under the thumb of her husband or her father can make nedarim like any other man, and can get hataras nedarim like any man. Well, like not any other man, like any man or like any... So here, when a wife, an adult wife, makes a neder, it's a neder. Elama, her husband has the right to veto it. But it doesn't... What?
But does he have to confirm it?
He doesn't have to confirm it. Shtika kodo dami, right? If he on biyom shamo, when he finds out about it, if he has that day to there's the sunset provision. Right. He has that day to be canceled. He can either be mekayem it. Once he's mekayem it, he hears about it at 6 o'clock in the morning. Shkia that day is at 6 p.m. He has 12 hours at his disposal to cancel it. If he says nothing, if he does nothing, at Shkia, the neder stands, right? And the neder stands. If at 6 a.m., 12 hours before deadline, he says, neder ze kayam, lo mishaneh, then he's stuck. Right? At noon, when he realizes that this neder means his lunch is not going to be ready, or whatever other inconvenience to his life will be presented, he's stuck, because he was already mekayam. Right? But shtika kodadami, once sunset comes and goes, according to the shita that it's on at sunset.
Okay. He hears about it at 5:58.
He's got a short window of opportunity.
Did you say that the opinion that it's 24 hours? Or not?
There's two opinions. One is that it's until shkia of the day that he hears, which seems to be the majority opinion. The other opinion is it's a 24-hour clock. If he hears it at 5:58, 2 minutes before the shkia, he has until 5:58. The next day, but which in some ways makes more sense, because you know it could be she'll tell him, you know, with 1 minute left, and he'll be stuck. Okay.
Clarify: the hafara is not limited to 12 to 12 and a half? The married woman, your wife, my wife, there's a hafara today?
Yeah. A husband has a right to be mefer. Our perek is talking about this weird case of the nara hamurasa, who is still technically under her father's authority and her husband's authority, and therefore needs both. But in general, a married woman, no matter how old, her husband has the right to be mefer her nederim.
We're only talking about nederim that are done in the presence of edim, a neder that's made in the proper form of a neder.
Well, you don't need edim for a neder.
The wife can make a neder. Just, I want it today. I'm talking about in today's world. Can say, you know, I'm never eating my mother-in-law's house again.
And who could imagine such a scenario? But I mean,
and in today's world, the husband
Ben, really? Why would
sorry,
you?
You're eating in your mother-in-law's house.
Yeah.
You can take her to Beis Din and force her.
You can be, if he hears this, that she is mid. Look, Lamaisa. Look, we are careful about not making the darim. We say bli neder. So, like, we think that, like, you can imagine a scenario. Usually it's the father, not the wife. The husband, not the wife, right? He'll say, I'm never going to step foot in my. Is that really a neder?
No, what they're saying is that exactly. She can make a net there that she's not going to eat her mother-in-law's house.
Right. Fine. And the husband can zap it out.
He can zap it out. Doesn't mean he can force her to eat there.
No. But she can't say, but if she says that she takes a net there, that she will not step foot in her mother-in-law's house, and the husband says, neder zekayam, or the husband just doesn't say anything until the shkia, so that's a net there. And he can't force her to go.
Mitokef
the fact that she has a binding neder there, unless she goes and gets. Correct.
There's always a way around it. Yeah.
Right. So, no. Yeah. So she would tell him. So that's those are the examples. Those examples that we saw at the end of the last. No, but there's no point in taking the neder. The neder there creates a halachic reality. It's like a force field around her mother-in-law's house where she can say, ah, you can't force me to go to that old machshefa because I have a neder. It's usher for me to step foot in that house. Right?
She didn't let him know.
So if she doesn't let him know...
Does 24 hour or 12 hour appear?
It's 24 hours from the time that he hears about it.
She makes a neder. I'm never on Shabbos ever again going to my mother-in-law's house. She makes this neder on Monday.
Yeah.
He doesn't hear about it until Friday.
So on Friday, on the day that he hears about it,
B'yom
Shamo, on the day he hears about it.
I don't know why you forget that. Yeah. B'yom Shamo, okay.
Right? So the Rashba says like this. Do we have time for this? Yes. The Rashba says like this. When you make a neder, when you do a taras nedarim on a neder, it's as if the neder never happened. It's botel lemafreya retroactively. So here also, when the father says yes, the father says no, and the husband says yes, and then the husband goes to Beis Din and gets hatara on. But what does he get? He's getting a hatara on the hakama. Well, his is not a neder. His is basically like putting the batteries into this neder, right? So why do we say that you can't? Why do we say that now? Why do we say that you have this break in between? Why do we say there's been a violation of this notion of bevat achat? In other words, father said no, husband said yes. The neder stands. Now we take the batteries out of the father's yes through the hataras nadarim and it falls. So the problem is now that even though they're both saying no, the neder still stands because the two no's, the two hafarot, did not come bevat achat and you had this hakama in between. Ah, elama, hataras nadarim means that hakama never existed. It's ki'ilu, it never existed. Right? That's what hataras nadarim does. So then the Rashba says the following. A person who
a person who marries a woman can marry a woman, not in the case of a minor girl, an adult woman. So if an adult woman had nedarim before she got married, so she brings those into the marriage along with her dowry. Right? You take her as is. His rights to be made for her nedarim are only from the time they become husband and wife. So if he says, Hariat mikudeshet li, bitnai she'en alayich nedarim. So if she has nedarim, the kedushin cannot be fulfilled because there's a tnai, there's a condition in the kedushin that he's marrying her neder free. He doesn't want to inherit all of her nedarim. So she has nedarim in her pocket, on her record. He gives her the kesef kedushin. She's mekabel at the kesef kedushin. Are you real? I mean, we learned this when we learned kedushin three years ago. Stupid. I wasn't here. Like, you're gonna fail the final exam, right? What did last year we learned?
I think it's more than that. We've done
Pesachim,
we've done Shabbat, we've done.
Last year we learned Shabbos.
I think it was before I came back.
So Kedushin was when Shalom was in ninth grade. Kedushin was when Shalom was in ninth grade. So it was 4 years ago already. Right, we did Kedushin and
We did Sanhedrin,
Kedushin, Pesachim, Bava Kamma, and last year Shabbos. That's just the last 5 years. So you can make a tanai in Kedushin, right? Man gives a woman the kesef kedushin, says Hariat mekudeshet li, but tanai she'at Rachel v'lo Leah. You lift the veil, it's Leah. Are they married? No. So Hariat mekudeshet li, but tanai that you have no nadarim. Are they married? No. She runs to the Bezdin, she gets a taras nadarim. What happens? No fela simon, they're married. Right? They're married. So the Rashba says, what?
You'd think there would have to be, the Kiyum tonight would have to be at the time of the Kedushin.
Because it's retroactive.
Because it's retroactive. Retroactively, it was true. It changes the reality. At the moment they stood under the chuppah, she had nedarim.
Time traveling.
When Hataras nedarim happens, retroactively, those nedarim never existed.
In other words, it negated the negation of the Kedushin.
So the Rashba says, so if you can do that for Kedushin, why can't you do that here in this case? Why do we say that the Hakama in the middle, which later gets basically...
The Rashba is a student.
So that was my question.
The Rashba is a student of the Ramban. The
yeah.
So you said the Ramban didn't hold that. He didn't have a problem with it after. So it's only a question on the
Ramban. No. Even the Ramban says, the Rambam says, once you've had a hafara, a hakama, a hatara, it's too late. Okay. If we're reading the Rambam correctly. The Ramban says, if you have a hafara of the father, and hakama of the husband, and a hatara, you still need the father to come back and re-mayfair.
Why is it nothing? Why isn't it back then?
So why do we say no? The hakama, it's ki'ilu, it didn't exist, bechlal, just like the case of the Kedushin. Right? And therefore you have the hafara of the father. If we had a blackboard here, I would erase it. Right? You have the hakama in the middle, which now, Star Trek, you know, time travel, we erase it, it's not there. And now what do you have? You used to have a hafara and a hakama and a hafara, and the hakama in the middle violated the principle bevat achat. But now we erase the hakama in the middle, and what do you have left? Hafara and hafara.
Even though it's retroactive, it just seems that the fact that there was a kiyum at some point sort of taints the other hafara.
The truth is, maybe, or you could say maybe, and I don't remember, but there is something different going on here between this condition. In that, I mean, if you're talking about this, like, you know, this time travel metaphor, you have basically like two parallel things going on. There's an element in hafara that the nether existed. In other words, it's your mefer, but it's confirming that there was an eder. So the father's hafara in a sense, even though he was mefer, he actually confirmed that there really was an eder. So the hatara isn't a complete hatara because the father's acceptance of it was never what that didn't that still has some that grabs on to the neder in some way. So it never fully falls through.
That's close to what the Ran says here in answer to the Rashba's question. Ran says, in the case of the kiddushin, was there maase kiddushin?
Yeah.
It just had this
problematic tnai.
It just had this problematic tnai, and once the tnai is fulfilled, so then it wasn't problematic tnai, right? The tnai is just a kind of stopgap in the process, but there was a maase kedushin. Once the tnai is fulfilled, it goes through automatically because there was a proper maase kedushin. Here was there a maase hafara. No. Because to have a maaseh hafarah, you need both keys turning simultaneously. The father turned his key, it's a bad metaphor because turning a key usually is to turn something on. Here it's turning the key to turn it off, to be mefer the neder. But his turning of his hafarah key is not a maaseh. It's one half of a maaseh. He has to do his half, and the husband has to do his half. The husband didn't do his half. And therefore, the father's half is incomplete. When the husband then goes and gets hatara, it doesn't retroactively turn... We don't say, well, we had a half a hafara, and now we have another half. Because the father's original half hafara, half a maaseh, doesn't exist.
No, it does exist.
It does not exist.
If it doesn't exist, then the Hatara wouldn't be an issue at all. If it was nothing.
No.
Hatara plus half Hafara doesn't...
After the Hatara.
The father gave his Hafara, which is a half a Maisa. The husband, by being Mekayim,
nullified,
means that the father's half a Maase,
okay,
is lo klum.
Okay. So then the Hatara should work.
Then, when he gets Hatara...
Should reset it?
Then when he gets Hatara and he's Mayfair, so then...
No, what do you mean? He gets Hatara and he's Mayfair.
He gets Hatara.
The question was, why isn't Hatara enough to just cancel it? Why is it through Hafara after the Hatara?
No, because the Hatara means that his act of Kiyum was cancelled.
So why isn't the whole thing cancelled?
And now he has to say, and I don't want the Neder.
But if he did Hatara, why is he even have to do that?
Because
there was no neder. The Hatara used to cancel the neder of the Gamre. So why would
No. The Hatara cancels his Hakama.
Not the
So he's now back to the state of neutrality. If he goes on the day that he gets Hakama, on the day that he gets Hatara of his Hakama, right? So he has to now declare at the Ani Mefir at Neder.
He regrets making the key or not. Regret the nether from being made.
It's not his nether to regret. It's the only thing he can regret is the hakama, right? So now, if he gets rid of the hakama, let's assume that now he has it's biyom shamo. So now he still has to make a hafara, because if he does nothing, he's still back at the state of neutrality. Come sunset, then automatically it still stands. So when he makes the hakama, which ultimately will be erased from the record through the hatara, but when he made the hakama, it also erased the father's hefa maaseh, because there ain't no such thing as a hefa hafara. And here it's a partnership, and you need both. You know, it's like two signatures on a check, right? It's like, you know, for a company, two signatures on a check, one signature is a nothing. Right. So if the other guy doesn't sign the check, it doesn't matter. Once the check is no good. If six, whatever, how long do you have on a check? 90 days.
6 months.
60 days. Right. So if the time passes, the check is no good, even though it's a bad metaphor because that's not the way checks work. But so then when he gets the hatara and his hakama, the father's half maaseh is already no longer existent, and therefore, according to the Rambam, according to the Ramban,
And here, you're right, the Rashba really does fit more into the Ramban. Going to the Ramban, Beseder. So the father can be re-Mayfair, and the husband can be Mayfair now for the first time. And the whole thing is no good.
So back to the case of somebody was not Mayfair by sunset.
Yeah.
Can he then do Hasarat Nedarim, get back to the neutral state, and then it's like a resetting of the Biyom Shemo?
And the Gemara is going to get into the Gemara, when the Gemara discusses what the Hagdarot of Yom Shemo are.
Okay.
The Gemara goes on, we have a few minutes left. V'na'aram rasa avihu ba'ala mefirin nidareha minalan. That's probably a mistake that you have those two dots there, because that's not a quote from the Mishnah. V'na'aram rasa avihu ba'ala mefirin nidareha minalan. What is the source for the idea that during this 6 month period you need the partnership of Hafara of the two of them? So Rabba Amar Omar Rabba Omar Kra, and now he quotes Psukim from Bamidbar Perek Lamed, which is the beginning of Parshat Matot. Now look on the sheet on Parshat Matot. There are three sets of halachot here. From Pasuk Dalid to Pasuk Vav. Look, read through the Pasukim. Pasuk Dalid, Hay, and Vav. What case is that?
She's not married yet. She's still a girl in her
father's house. And Rabbi, look at Psukim 11, 12, and 13. What case is that?
The wife.
That's a wife. That's an adult wife. Right. Pasuk 10 is the special din about a widow. But in between Pasuk 7, 8, and 9, what case is that?
Looks like a wife.
Looks like a wife. What's the obvious question that you're jumping? You've learned Parshat Matot many times.
Not really. It's one of those, usually those with Masay, I usually defer to either Kori or...
You've ever learned Parshat Matot?
Probably Rishon.
So here you go.
So why is it twice?
So this has obviously jumped out at you
many times.
Anyway, you've learned it on Shabbos Mincha, Sheni V'Chamishi.
That's what I'm saying, Rishon.
Okay, so this is in Rishon. So the question has jumped out at you many times.
So many times I don't even remember it.
You have so many different answers to the question.
I've gotten so used to it that I don't even notice it anymore.
Before I used to say, people get pound the table for a he or a who or something, but they'll miss the most obvious thing. How come they're screaming out for some terrible difficult thing?
On the surface of it, it appears like something of a redundancy, doesn't it?
Right.
First, we have the din of a father being Mayfair, his daughter. Then you have the din of a husband being made for his wife. Then you have the one pasuk about an almana. Okay. And then you have the din about the father, the husband being made for his wife.
The difference is it's talking about the shvua.
So all of these things with shvua and neder are identical. For the hafara. For the father and the husband's chut to be made for is for both for nedarim and for shvuot. So Rabba says, Minalan, what is the source for the two key hafara? Minalan Amar Rabba Amar Kra Ve'im Hayutiye Leish Minidere Oleha .. Mikan Le Na'ara Hamurasa She'avihu O Ba'ala Mefirin Nidereha. That the middle set of psukim, Posek Zayin Chet and Tet, are talking not about a regular wife, but are talking about the Na'ara Hamurasa. And, it makes sense. First you have one set of psukim that talk about the daughter in her father's house. Later you have a set of psukim talking about a wife in her husband's house. And in the middle, it makes sense that the transition would be the Nara Hamurasa. Obviously, it's not talking about a married woman because Psukim 11, 12, 13, etc. are talking about a married woman. So which woman is this? This is the Nara Hamurasa. According to Rabba, here's the source. What's the problem? Well, it would have been more convenient if the Torah said a little more, said it a little more simply. Omar Krava, Shavia Bala Mashirina Dira. Ema Haikra Binisuaktiv. What are you talking about? The Gemara says, attacking Rabba. Well, why do you say it's Nara Murasa? Well, the Pshat Psukim is talking about what? A married woman, a regular woman, right? Say it's talking about a regular Nisua. So the Gemara says, "Minusaktiv, im shum nisua, krachrinaktiv, v'im beit isha nadra." So if it's talking about a married woman, we have a psukim about a married woman coming up, starting from pasuk yud aleph. So im trivayu b'nisua, says the Gemara. No, they could both be talking about a married woman.
Is he thinking about here on the word on bayit?
Where? No, no, no.
Because the bayit would seem
the to be... Beit Isha?
That's only in Yod Aleph. And bayit would seem to be indicating of, like, the, you know, kupaz like a bayit. That could be an idea that would actually be...
Maybe. I'm not sure that that's the specific point in Rabbah, but look in the Ran. He might make that point, but... but there's lo chashuv. We'll come back to that, but lo chashuv. I think Rabba's point is just basically you have one parasha about a woman and her husband and another parasha about a woman and her husband. So the first parasha is about a woman who's not, you know, is about the Nara Musa. And the second one is about a regular married woman. So the Gemara says that doesn't really seem to make sense. Say they're both about married women. So why would you need two parashiyot about married women?
There's a difference in the wording, by the way, that
yeah,
give a hint to that.
There is. But what? Where do you see that?
Vim hayot hiya le'ish. So she's been promised to, she's been...
Yeah, she's on her way.
To, she's
yeah,
right, yeah. As opposed to Vim Beit Isha Nadara.
Okay. Sounds like she's already...
house.
Okay.
I think Rashi says it. Shandara Bid Beit Isha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yes, that's like you want to say.
I think you moved on. I was stuck on the words. There,
no, very good, very good. So, Ema Trevayu Binisua. Why not say that both of the parashiyot, or both of the sets of psukim, are about regular married women? V'chitema Trekrai Binisua, Lamali. So, if that were the case, why would you need two sets of psukim about a... Why would you need the redundancy in the perek? L'meima She'ein Habal Mefir Bikodmin. To teach the din... that the husband cannot be mefer the previous nedarim when she comes in. But we'll continue from there. When, next week I'm away, so in 2 weeks.